welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host on this gorgeous Monday in Philadelphia. Absolutely stunning day, and we're in a sweet spot here because we probably had about 12 to 13 great weather days here in the last 2 weeks. And after the spring we had, I think we're due for this extended beauty that we're witnessing in God's creation. Folks, I got a real treat for us tonight. Our first three-time performer on the show. I've been doing this just coming up on 3 years this fall. And Colonel Professor Michael J. Manning is our first three-time performer, three-time guest. Mike, that $5,000 stipend check is in the mail. So you can rest assured you'll have it by the end of the week. But you can't.
I'm afraid to cash that.
Hey, you. Well said, my brother. Folks, we got Mike Manning, retired colonel in the United States Army and professor of leadership studies in the School of Engineering at Northeastern University, back for his third time. And I've been blessed to have a lot of great people in my life and in my faith formation. I don't have a spiritual director per se, but if I give him the... Whether he wants it or not, I'm giving him the unofficial title of my spiritual director. So I've just made that public, Mike. You're officially my spiritual director, and I'm one of your proud pupils, albeit I'm about 8 years older than you. But there you have it, brother. Welcome to the show.
Joe, thank you. That's a beautiful message, and I'm supposed to respond back, so Joe, with something witty like, well, if I'm your spiritual director, we're all in trouble, Joe.
we're lost, but we're making good time, right? That's why we're here today.
That's folks.
As we begin all shows, before I get started with the great Mike Manning, let's say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as Mike and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, I ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, Mike, the Monday after Pentecost Sunday, and we're back in ordinary time. And we'll get to Pentecost and that beautiful message of evangelization later in the show. But, you know, I talk to you, you know, weekly, if not daily, you know, and kind of tell you my challenges. You know, when we spoke last week, I talked about what St. John of the Cross would refer to those arid parts of the journey, right? The dryness, when we're just, when we're coming up, you know, snake eyes, and we may not be as dialed in as we want to be. And this has been something. Someone gave this to me about 8 years ago, but it's a prayer by St. Thomas Merton, the great Thomas Merton. I say it every day, and it's pertinent for where I am right now on the journey. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going, and I do not see the road ahead of me. I can't know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me and will never leave me to face my troubles all alone. And just beautifully written. And I feel like that's kind of where I am in my journey right now. You and I talk all the time about it, but there's times when you feel like you're so dialed in, you're at the foot of the cross, and you can feel the body kind of just emanating like energy. And then there's other times, which is kind of, I'm in this, I would say probably a 4 to 6 week run where I'm just, I'm still wrestling and I'm still practicing my prayer life and things of that nature. But I just, being totally candid with you, brother, I'm feeling dry.
Yeah. You know? And Coach, I appreciate you, sharing that. And I know your listeners do as well. It's an act of humility. And it's being very vulnerable. It's hard to say that, because no one wants to feel that way. And no one wants to feel like they're, we're letting the boss down.
Amen.
Either. And I think, Joe, my initial response to you would be, and again, blessed to have you in my life in this relationship. So we've been able to, over the years, talk about a number of topics that we've touched upon on this show before and possibly again tonight. What I love about that prayer you just read, Joe, was it's the intent, right? I think the intent behind what we're doing and I think even beyond what Merton is speaking to is the fact that, look, I may not know where I'm going, Lord, but I'm staying in the fight, right? I'm going to stay in the fight and I'm going to trust that you're going to lead me down the right path. And I think that sometimes, and this may be where you are now, and I've certainly been there, where it's like you get up in the morning and it's like sometimes there's just a lack of desire to even pick up the weapon system.
No doubt.
If you'll permit the metaphor. And Joe, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No,
here, but
you're right. Absolutely.
I think there's, there's a symbiotic relationship, I think, related to, look, I don't necessarily know where I'm going, but I want to be dialed in and I want to please you. And then there's other times where it's, hey, Lord, I'm lost right now and I don't feel like rowing. I just don't feel like rowing.
Yeah. I know, St. John of the Cross, the great Carmelite friar and mystic, writes extensively, both him and St. Teresa of Avila write extensively about the dark night, right? And obviously, and then Mother Teresa kind of, we spoke volumes about it in her later life, which was really kind of, for me, reading Mother Teresa was like, man, I think sometimes I get caught up, Mike, in saying, man, I'm crazy sinful by nature, but man, there's just other people that don't have that same DNA. You know what I mean? And, certainly Mother Teresa being one of them. You're like, man, what does she know about struggle? Because she was just born with this, she was born saintly. And that's wrong. That's first of all, it's ignorant. Second of all, it's dead wrong. And, I remember, reading about, her challenges and her questions, and that it didn't shake me, but I was like, oh my gosh, if Mother Teresa feels like this, like what about the rest of us, and then as I reconciled it, I ended up taking great comfort in it, because I think it was Jeremiah, dead men don't wrestle, right? If you're not wrestling, and I think not being an expert on them at all, but doing a little bit of research on St. John of the Cross, doubt and distance are part of the journey too. What I mean? And, I think, that's okay. You know, if there's saints like Mother Teresa and Thomas Merton and Saint John of the Cross that are, you know, battling the same things, some of the same things that we're battling today, you know, you take comfort in the company, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach, I would add to that, I think it's, again, you know, Thomas Merton spoke about, he wrote about desire. We just spoke to it a few moments ago. I think that even beyond that, the Lord wants to see what we're going to do with this. Right? What, you know, yes, there are times, and what a gift. What a beautiful gift to be in a place where, you know, you're so dialed in and, you know, and you get the gift of tears at every turn. You know, you're at Mass and, or you have an encounter with someone, whether it's intentional or unintentional, and it's just beautiful and you feel God. You feel the Holy Spirit. And then there are other times where you're just absolutely, you feel like you're just spinning. You feel like you don't have a compass, and as I mentioned earlier, I don't want to pick this up. I don't want to be in this space right now. I don't think it's fair that I'm in this space, and I'm not quite sure what the Lord wants me to get out of this, right? And I think it's precisely, Joe, at those moments where what I found is that's where, you know, you got to double down, and you got to double down on your prayers. Certainly, I think the rosary, which I always, it serves as like a golden thread leading me back, right? Come on back. It's, you know, the Blessed Mother literally grabbing your hand and walking you back, or standing with you at the foot of the cross.
Sure.
And then I think the other piece, Joe, that I found is that, you know, the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, and so I would, talking to my buddy here, and I would maybe just offer, and I don't know when you, the last time, and I'm not asking
long.
Either, that you've gone to confession, but I think just going in there, Joe, and having a conversation with a holy priest and saying, look, this is what I'm dealing with right now. And just, you know, there's nourishment we get out of that, Joe. And I think that there's, again, this invitation to begin again. And not that the rucksack is going to get any lighter. It may not, but I think we have an opportunity to get back into the fight with renewed vigor.
Yeah, well said. The other thing I think too is as I'm thinking as you're saying that, it's just like, it's total surrender too, right? It's like, you know,
absolutely.
So much of my challenge in my faith life, and in particular at this time, to be quite honest with you, this period right now, I'm like, I think I've been asking for things from the Lord. And I'm just kind of raising my hands in frustration, like, why is this happening? And, you know, I think,
yeah,
I'm fighting the fight, and that's just crazy too, because it's just total selfishness, you know, and it's a lack of surrender, you know. And as I'm thinking about what I'm saying right now, I'm reminded of the Naveen. I say, you know, Jesus says, we're like the petulant little child that looks over his mother's shoulder, you know, after he asks us to fix something. You know, the child asks, mm-hmm, the mom to fix it, and then we're looking over her shoulder, you know, and just being able to surrender, totally surrender to his will, and having the humility to do that,
yeah,
and offering the whole thing up, right? The anxiety and the you know, the frustration and the failure, and just being there, present all the time. And the other thing, Mike, I learned from you too, you know, I think this show has a sports theme that kind of runs through it, if not always, then most of the time. But, you know, you've said before, you were a college athlete yourself in Providence, you know, hey, some days your 100% might be, you know, playing with your hair on fire. And other days, your 100% may be, you know, just barely pushing the soccer ball, you know, on the other side, or, you know, finishing the third lap of a mile when you feel like you got a refrigerator on your back, you know. And it's not always going to be, you know, lollipops and balloons, and you're not going to always feel like, you know, you're the next Marcus O'Sullivan out there, you know.
Yeah. No, I love, Joe, I love that. And, yeah, it's so I think the obligation, right, the obligation is, as we would, and again, pulling the thread on the sports theme, which I think is so good, you know, as a teammate, the obligation is, first and foremost, I'm going to show up, right? I am going to show up, whether it's practice or it's game day. I'm going to show up, and then I'm going to give you the absolute best that I can. Give me your best, 100% and then some. Now, your best may only be 80% or 70%, right, as you had suggested, Joe. But I think the obligation is, and it's a joyful obligation, is to give your all, right? To give your all, because at the end of the day, Joe, we're playing the game, and then in the spiritual world, it's not about us, right? We are offering this all up to the Lord. It's all He needs us. He needs us to play whatever role and to do our best in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And the last piece for now that I just, Joe, as I wrap these thoughts here, and you touched upon it when you got us started here today, it you know, in order to surrender is predicated by trust, Joe, right?
Amen.
It is. You can say it. It briefs really well. Hey, look, you got to surrender. Okay, well, what does that mean, right? Well, it's an act of subordinating your will or one's will to the will of the Lord. But the only way you can do that, is if you trust, right? Because talk about an act of vulnerability, Joe, right?
No doubt.
Being able to say, look, I am literally giving my entire self over to you, and I don't want to be here. I don't understand it, but I trust you and I love you. Lead me.
Well said, brother. Well said. You know, let me ask you this. We're a couple of crusty old Irish guys. You're not quite at your back nine yet, but you can see the halfway house from where you're golfing. I'm definitely on the back nine. You know, and I think the call to love, right? I think, you know, and I would say that you would agree with me when I say, you know, it's pretty easy for the both of us to love people in our inner circle. I don't think anybody loves better than you and I, but man, it's just, you know, I don't know why, but in my prayer life, I've been hearing, you know, whether it's Matthew or you know, John, or even going back to Genesis or Timothy, like the call to love, right? You know, love thy neighbor. Who's thy neighbor? And then, you know, it's almost like, you know, there's so much of the Bible that, you know, you absolutely love, because it's just, it's like the ultimate, it is the ultimate manual of life, right? But, and it is the living word, but there's some things that, you know, that just, you know, they jump out at you so forcefully because you realize how inept you are at it, you know? Ooh. And I'm just going to read Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Man, that's a challenge right there, brother. How do you reconcile that in just in the day, you know, even within our faith, with life and choice and borders, and like, how do you? What's your thought on Matthew 5:43-48 there?
Well, I mean, Joe, how powerful, right? How powerful! What an incredible message. We've talked off air, Joe. We've talked on the air about servant leadership, right? And there are these, and just as a reminder, there are these two key tenets to servant leadership, and so one is empathy, right? To put yourself willfully into the lived experience of another person. But what's really interesting is the relationship with the second element, which is acceptance. And so it's accepting, not rejecting, right? It's accepting without approbation. And what I think, and I think Christ is absolutely, he is the model for all this. And it's not that, hey, I'm not going to be a doormat, and I'm not necessarily agreeing with you, but I love you so much because the Father leads me in that way, and because the Father loves me, and knowing how sinful I am, this is Mike Manning.
Sure.
That I think we, and I fail in this every day, Joe. Every day, I'm going to hang up the, I'm going to get off the line with you, and I'm going to judge someone on the way over to my next meeting. Okay, because I know this about myself. Okay, I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but you know me well, and you know that. That's one an area that I wrestle with routinely. So I think, Joe, it's being self-aware. It's being self-aware of our flaws, of our flawed state. And I think it's about, again, just being aware of it, asking forgiveness when we there's a very holy priest that's in my life, Joe. And one of the things that he has shared with me and he's counseled me on is he said, Michael, you know, throughout the day, you know, when we become aware of the times, and there's so many times throughout the course of the day, right, if we really pay attention that, hey, look, I didn't do as well as I could have there, whether, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. But then just saying to God, you know, forgive me, Lord. Lord, forgive me. And then, Joe, a phrase that you and I both love, Nunc Chepe,
yep.
Right? Now I begin. So, again, an invitation of I just fell. I just screwed up, Lord. Forgive me, and I'm going to begin again. And Joe, you may have to say it, and I do, not always cognizant of it, Joe. But it's just I'm going to get up, and I'm going to begin again. I'm going to begin again, and I'm just going to continue to try to get this right.
Well said, brother. Well said. And I think even, you know, if there was any room for interpretation with Matthew 5:43-48. You know, he tells us in Corinthians 13, and now these three remain. He's talking about the theological virtues. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So of all the, you know, it's funny, right? We get caught up in even like canon law and, you know, and doctrine and dogma and you know, and you know, all of the interps that we have, you know, in ideology and reducing that to practicality and practice, you know, he's saying, yeah, that's great. But you know what, of all the things we're talking about here, love trumps everything, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, you know, that kind of just smacks you in the face too. And I'm reminded of Joe Creed when he says the spirit of the, you know, the letter of the law, don't let the letter of the law consume you. The spirit of the law should be guided by love, you know, mm-hmm. and that is love for all because we're all made in his image and likeness, you know?
Yeah. And Joe, as you're talking, you know, you mentioned, you know, we have a shared love for and devotion to, you know, Mother Teresa. And as you were speaking, I thought of her, and I also thought of, and there's another saint that is very near and dear to me, and that's Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Mm. What an amazing man! Yep.
What's interesting, Joe, if you read, and it's they aren't alone in this. You know, many of the saints, you know, a lot of the great saints, you know, they have spoken extensively. They've written extensively about love and. The case of Mother Teresa and Maximilian Kolbe, they're no different there. But what's really interesting, and as you were speaking, Joe, what came to mind, and I want to share this now, is that when they talk of love, love is inextricably linked with sacrifice, okay? Sacrifice catalyzes love. And, you know, Mother Teresa, she goes so far to say, she's like, look, if you want to love, love has to hurt. It has to hurt. If you're doing it right. And love is informed by sacrifice. And sacrifice is you know, it's a lot of things. There's a lot of different ways to define it. But I think what she's speaking to, and Kolbe, the same, it's, Joe, it's death of self.
No doubt.
It's death to self. And I think, Joe, therein perhaps lies the answer to how, not just to your question of a few moments ago, specifics that, you know, how do I interact? How do I deal with people that I'm not aligned with, that I may not even like, that frankly, people that are, you know, that are injurious to others. And I think it begins, this death of self, Joe, is a manifestation of the subordination of my will to God's will.
Well said. As you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, and I'm the first, you know, I'm the first one to get on the bandwagon about the cancel culture. You know, people canceling you out if you disagree with them. And, you know, there's a lot of times if I'm looking at my own life and the way I behave, man, I'm doing the same thing. You know what I mean? I'm quick to cancel people that don't profess the way I do or what I do or don't that have different ideology or, you know, different different doctrine, different faith, different, you know, I'm as guilty as anybody when it comes to canceling people out, you know?
Right. It's hard, Joe.
It is hard.
It's hard.
It's unnatural for me. Again, you hit it on the head, man. Like, it's, you know, dying, you know, the self dying, you know, daily, right? Dying a daily death for the will of Christ, you know, and right. To do that, it's not being, you know, it's living beyond the temporal world of today, of Boston, of Philadelphia, of, you know, of education, the army, sports, you know, it's dying to God's will every single day. And in doing that, you know, like you said about Nung Chepe, you get to begin again. So true.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back after these quick messages with Professor Michael Manning, Professor of Leadership Studies in the School of Engineering at Northeastern University.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906. or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Folks, welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, along with Professor Michael Manning from the Leadership Studies Program at Northeastern University School of Engineering, retired United States Army Colonel, American hero, and dear friend. Before we move on to the next topic, Mike, I'm just going to leave you with three more. As I was doing some research, as we ask who, you know, when Christ says, love your neighbors, and it was asked to him, who are your neighbors? This is from Luke 6, 27 to 28. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Wow, is that a challenge? From Job, if I have rejoiced at the ruin of him who hated me, or exalted when evil overtook him, I have not let my mouth sin by asking for his life with a curse. And Proverbs 24, verse 17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Man, is that some daunting challenge there, Mike. Daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're called to do it, and to your point earlier, every day we, you know, when we just, you know, you mentioned it too, like just having the awareness in the moment when you're falling short, you know, yeah, and then taking that opportunity instantaneously to begin again, you know, I think as I think the link between self-awareness and the faith formation. I mean, I think if, you know, the people I have the most respect for, as you know, Catholic women and men, are people that have tremendous emotional IQs and tremendous self-awareness, you know?
Yeah. No, Joe, yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, those are really powerful passages, you know, you just read there. And what, you know, what comes to mind, Joe, is, again, and I've said this to you privately and publicly on the air here, and I think it bears repeating. You know, when I stand in front of my students, okay, and I teach leadership, as you've suggested a couple times now today, I teach leadership full time, and then in a part time volunteer status, you know, doing work at a couple different seminaries here locally. And when I go into the seminary, when I get up in front of these young seminarians, and I say to them, and as I reflected prior to getting in, right, as I'm preparing myself to converse with them, but what I say to them is, hey, listen, we're going to have a great conversation tonight around leadership. And I said, I'm going to be able to give you everything, right? Or we're going to be able to talk about everything. Because when you can bring Christ into the conversation, specific to leadership, that He is the model. He is the absolute ultimate target, if you will, the mark of which we all should aspire to arrive at. And conversely, when I'm in the classroom at school, you know, and I can't talk about Christ, I'm able to refer, as I've shared with you, I'm able to kind of refer and try to appropriately bring my faith life into the conversation as a leader. But I'm not able to do a deep dive talking about Christ, Joe.
Sure.
And because of that, you know, my students are only getting a portion of this. And so why I'm mentioning this, Joe, as you were reading those passages, what came to mind was Christ on the cross, and after he had been brutalized, beginning in the garden, and, you know, and then, you know, the crowning with thorns and the scourging at the pillar, and the way that he was brutalized on the way to his death, and yet he's on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them.
No doubt.
You know, I don't even know how you capture.
No, talk about total surrender, right? I mean, only back.
Yeah. Forgiveness.
Yeah, forgiveness, Joe. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Okay, so we're in the same, even though I'm older than you, we're in the same kind of cohort in terms of parents. You know, we have, between the two of us, we have six beautiful children, and five of the six are, you'd consider adults with, Dylan being 20, Shannon being what, 21, 20, what, how old is Shannon now?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and then the boys being older than that. Like, let me ask you this. How are you able to, much easier, to kind of, not rule with an iron fist would be a bad phrase, but, it's much easier to promote your faith and the journey when they're, when they're high school, middle school, elementary school age, and then at some point, you're hoping that, they personalize it, right? They, they come up with I sound like the Baptist minister, but like a personal relationship with Christ. But that's the truth, right? That's what we want for our kids. That's, we want them to own it. And then by owning it, then it becomes more relational, and which makes it more, omnipotent. It makes it more daily, makes it more present in the daily life of all of our kids. How have you been able to kind of, certainly model what, Catholic adulthood looks like, but also giving them, I would say, leeway is probably not the right term, but giving them the latitude to kind of own their experience without it being yet another thing that, Colonel Manning's forcing down my throat. I'm saying?
Joe, completely. And to be honest, I struggle with this. I think about this every day. And I'm constantly, pondering on this and I think trying to challenge myself to think of different ways to, right, Joe, you want to give your kids a number of gifts. And you've, as I've learned from you, one of the if you could gift your kids with anything, you want to gift them with a wonderful spouse, right? With a wonderful spouse. I remember you sharing this with me early on in our relationship, and I happen to agree with that. And I think maybe even, and alongside with that, and maybe even before that, Joe, if you were to, in the hierarchy of gifts, if you will, you want them to have a healthy, positive relationship with the Lord.
Without
right?
question, no doubt. And, that has to
I
be
mean,
ultimate.
That,
yeah.
That's it, right? That's the beginning, and that's the end.
Yep.
So I think it comes down to, for me as a dad, it was, modeling, trying to model, and of course, just failing as a human being, failing as a dad along the way, and then, getting back up. And so showing the kids, certainly my humanity, showing the kids dad's, fallibility, and then, having to come to them and say, look, please forgive dad. But hang in with dad, because when dad is inviting you to have a personal relationship, or trying to represent to you and demonstrate what a personal relationship with Christ looks like, I want you to take note of this. And, it's easy, Joe, right? When the kids are younger, you get the three kids all living in the house.
Sure.
And they're in, whether it's right, grade school, middle school, and as you know, we're praying a rosary together as a family tonight, and and it's a one way conversation,
no doubt,
right?
No.
Hey, guess what we're doing after dinner, everybody? And
congratulations, Jack.
Maybe, but we're going to say a rosary first, right? And which is beautiful, but as they get older, Joe, right? Your
negotiation
control,
takes place.
Right?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
gets lesser. So, gosh, do I wish that I would, and like your kids, my kids are they're good human beings, and they do have a relationship with Christ. I think that I come down back to St. Francis, right, who said, preach the gospel, use words when necessary.
Yep.
And for me, as I wrap this thoughts here, they, especially Shan, she will tune me out, right, because I'm it's. you know, not that I brought Ranger Manning into the house, but I have, and it's like, hey, Shan, have you thought about da-da-da-da-da-da? Hey, Dad, listen, you know, we talked about this 5 minutes ago.
That works on your unit, Dad. It's not going to happen here, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Dad, why don't you take a knee and drink water? Okay? Because, you know, I'm tired of hearing this. So what I have realized, and I have not gone willingly with this, Joe, but I need to pray for my kids, and I need to invite them, like, hey, Pop's going. This is what I'm doing, guys. I'm going to confession on Saturday, and then I'm gonna bang out a rosary. Who wants to come? And quite honestly, more times than not, I'm going alone. But there are those often times, and they're so beautiful where it's like, yeah, Pop, I'll join you.
That's awesome.
But they're seeing Dad live his faith.
Amen. And you know what? I'm reminded of the saying, you know, give a man a fish, he's got a meal for a day. Teach a man to fish, he's got a meal for a lifetime, you know. And in essence, what you're doing really, Michael, is you're teaching them to draw into relationship with Christ, you know, right. And you're planting seeds. We're planting seeds, some of which, you know, it might be like the bamboo, right? They say, you know, the bamboo, you know, you water the bamboo every day, you know, for 2 years and there's nothing, it doesn't grow. And then, you know, once it starts growing above water level, it's, you know, 8 to 10 inches in at a clip, you know, and that's part of the faith journey too. You know, sometimes you feel like you've covered a monster amount of ground in a very short period, and then other times, like a little like the, you know, the journey we were talking about at the beginning of the program, you know, and then there's other times where you feel like you're going in reverse, your pace is so slow. You know, but,
right.
You know, and again, I just, you know, you said it, man. I, and the older I get, the more I obsess about it. Like, you know, I say it to him once a week, if not more, man. My faith has gotten me through the darkest times of my life. And I want that for you, because there will be darkness ahead. You know, you're gonna, you know, lose a job, bury a loved one, not get the promotion. You know, that's life, you know. You don't always, you know, date the pretty girl or get the promotion or drive, you know, life kind of just has a way of just giving you the whole thing, the whole gamut, the good,
yeah,
the bad,
it,
and
yeah,
the ugly.
It punches you in the face.
No doubt. No doubt.
Right? It's you, life will bring you to your knees. And Joe, even those that we love, those closest to us, and usually unintentionally, sometimes intentionally, you know, we hurt each other, right?
Yeah.
We hurt each other. You know, even those closest to us, there are times where, you know, what do the Irish say, right? To be Irish is to know the world's going to break your heart and there's nothing you can do about it. I ascribe to that. And so I think what we want the kids to know, and I think anyone that we maybe come in contact with is recognizing that the one kind of eternal truth in your life and the only absolute is that God's going nowhere. He's going nowhere. He's right there, and you will be the best version of yourself. And I know it sounds cliche to say this, but I know you've lived it, Joe. I have. The closer you are to Him, and that includes the cross, when you know, when life is not going the way you want it to, and you want to give up, or it's just, hey, this is just too hard. But the closer you are, the closer we are to the Lord, the better we're going to be. And that, I think, if you can tattoo that to the souls of your kids, I think you will have been successful as a parent.
Amen. I agree with that. Thank you for that. Let me ask this, Mike. I know you've talked about your spiritual director. Talk to the audience about that for a little bit. Like, you do have a spiritual director, correct?
Yeah, I do, Joe. Yeah, I have. So
how long have you had?
I would answer that. I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
How long have you had a spiritual director?
Yeah. So thank you for the question. So, Coach, a formal spiritual director. So it was probably within the last year or so. You know, I went out and I've shared with you, I ended up doing a retreat, And I went away, did this retreat through the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, OVM. They have a retreat house.
It was a silent retreat, right?
I'm sorry, Coach?
It was a silent retreat, right?
Yeah, it was a silent retreat, exactly.
Wow, that's impressive.
And so leading up to that, I had an opportunity to go in and get some formal spiritual direction with a really holy priest there, Father Bill. And so, you know, that was really, really, you know, beautiful and very helpful.
Let me ask you this, Mike. I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Whereas that was very formal. And so the relationship with him is, you know, mentor to mentee, you know, spiritual director to a young guy trying to, you know, navigate life and often failing. That was kind of the prescribed relationship. What I have found, and I think we can all avail ourselves of this, you know, very, very blessed to have some priests in my life and a couple holy nuns. And these are relationships, Joe, that I have nurtured, they have nurtured. And I'm submitting all this with humility. But like any other type of relationship, they have to be nurtured. But there are, you know, priests and religious, a handful of them, that are in my life. And these are folks that, you know, I can pick up the phone, and I do. On a weekly basis, I'm talking to one or more of them. And, you know, there's a wisdom because of their holiness. And they're all in different places in their own lived experience and their journeys. But there's a young Padre, Joe, in his low to mid-30s, by the name of Father Chris Murphy. And I love him. I love him like
nice
a brother.
Nice Italian guy. That's why you love him so much.
I'm sorry?
A nice Italian guy. That's why you love him so much.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we hang out so much. So, he and I have become just very, I love him like a brother. And again, you know, he's a younger man, but there's this wisdom there. He's just a holy guy. He's dialed in. And so, Joe, what I do is I very proactively, because he keeps me on the track. Mm. And I think oftentimes he doesn't realize that I'm about to jump the train.
Sure.
Right? But I do. And so I reach out, and it's guys like that or people like Mother Olga that are able to kind of bring me back down. So I think we all need that. And we can all have those relationships. I mean, that's what I'd share with you. You know, it's about shared values. It's about love of the faith. And if you want to have those relationships, there are priests and religious out there that want to encounter you and have the same.
That's awesome. I've told you this before, but I just think one of the coolest things in my entire faith journey was last fall when Kara and I and Dylan went down to the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. There's a couple hundred thousand people. Gorgeous day, pretty cold but dry, and the sun was out, and it was like people were on fire for the Lord. Excuse me. And I have a chance among all these people. I run into a Boston contingency, and I meet the venerable Mother Olga, who I knew as I talked to you daily, if not weekly, if not daily, her impact on your journey.
Yeah.
And I went up and I saw this group of nuns, and I saw the Boston Diocese sign, and I said, "Sisters, one of you wouldn't happen to be Mother Olga, would you?" And sure enough, man, I'm like, I was brought to tears, honestly, because I'm like, here I am in Washington, D.C., amid hundreds of thousands of people, and it's a mass, like, You're not roaming freely, like, you know, this is the mass is so great that you're like literally, you know, stepping on the heels of someone in front of you and having someone do you the same from behind. And there, I'm like, what are the odds of that? And having the opportunity to just say to Mother Olga, thank you for nurturing my someone that has nurtured my faith, the exponential, you know, nature of it all, right? Here's this woman who's influencing your journey, and you're in turn influencing my journey, and ultimately she then is influencing my journey. You know what I mean? It's just, it was crazy. We prayed for 5 minutes, and it was just, you know, no, and you and I say it all the time, no such thing as a coincidence, right?
No.
But man, what a special, and she, you could tell, like, I mean, she's this dynamo, right? Like, she's this, you know, certainly not an imposing figure, right? What is she, 5'1", 5'2", Mike? I mean,
Joe, Joe, I think she's shorter than that.
Yeah, but you could tell she's on fire with the Lord.
When you met her, she was wearing heels.
She's like
4'10", and she's unbelievable. Like, yeah, dynamo is a great word to describe her. She's a force, Joe.
Yeah.
She is just an absolute force. And Joe, as you were speaking, and I was just reflecting kind of in real time on the relationship, and I think not that we need to encourage your listeners. I'm sure they get all this, and they probably have their own experiences and lived experiences, right? Certainly relationships with good priests and religious. What I would share with you, what she has done for me in my life, is that she's been an empathetic ear, certainly. She has also, she has walked with me, right? She has walked with me through some very, very, very hard times in my life, as have you, for that matter. And Joe, and again, this is, I think, how the Holy Spirit works, right? Is that, as we're trying to discern, there were some, as I'm navigating this darkness, this complexity in my life, and really not knowing where to go, where I think the formal and informal spiritual direction comes in, and just having good people in your life.
Amen.
It's that, their voices matter, and the way the Holy Spirit is working through them, Holy Spirit is present in the relationship. So she has helped me discern in more ways than she knows, Joe. Like, she has been, I get signal graces from her, Joe.
That's awesome.
There have been times I sit down with her, I'm like, Mother, and I end up throwing up on her, not literally, but I'm sitting in there, and it's she, poor lady, she's on receive, Manning's on transmit. And, but she loves me, so she does it just with so much grace and love, and then she says, Michael, and then I walk away, and there was wisdom there, right? And Joe, last thought on this piece here for right now for me is that I think we have to also, and you're a great model for this, Joe, and guys like your boy Sean, you get this wonderful men's group in Philly that you, and every Saturday you get together, and these are fellow travelers,
yep,
right? And so I think that the spiritual direction, Joe, and guidance, yeah, I mean, it helps to have a Father Bill, right, Newbrecker at the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. But I think just surrounding yourself with fellow travelers that are going to give you the right target feedback, they're going to love you enough to say, hey, you're wrong here.
Amen.
Or that are going to be there to help bolster you up. I think that having good lay people can be just as important.
Well said, and I agree with that. The standard's the standard, right? I mean, it that never changes. It's and it was established by Christ, 2,000 years ago plus. And I can fall below the standard all on my own, but just being around other people, like fellow journeymen, like you said, I love that description, that are on the same journey as you, with the same trappings and pitfalls, but keeping you, at that level, answering to the standard, I think is, and loving you enough to correct you. And I think that's really important, much like a parent does with a child. Here we are, Mike, coming off of Pentecost Sunday. I don't know. I feel like in the last 2 years, I just dialed it in for, I look back at the years I would just dial in Pentecost Sunday and not, it's the birthday of the church and blah, blah, blah. But not really kind of appreciating what really transpired, in that upper room, with apostles that just, whose world turned upside down, right? They thought when they first heard of a savior, it was going to be this earthly savior that was going to put Judaism back, at the top of the food chain, and he was going to conquer everybody, and he comes to be anything but that. And then it's, then they give up everything to follow him, and then he leaves them, right? And then, and then he rises from the dead, and it's like, we're back on the wagon, and then, oh, by the way, I'm leaving. And now it's going to be your job to pass the torch on and to carry it, to carry the mantle. And you know, we're all called to evangelize, right? And I think, man, Mike, for a long time, I shied away from that. I really did. I mean, for the better part of my adulthood. And I don't know if it was embarrassed because I wasn't always walking the walk and I didn't want to come across as a fraud, or I just didn't have the moral courage to evangelize. And it doesn't have to be in your face, finger wagging, you know, but I just, you know, I just feel in the last 2 years, I mean, we're commanded that at baptism, right? We're commanded to spread the good news and to bring people closer to Christ. And to do it for our entire time here, you know?
Joe, as you're as we're talking here, I'm reminded of, there was a holy layman that I had met a number of years back, but he reminded me, you know, one of the, I think part of a leader task, Joe, or a leader behavior, is to inspire, right?
Mm.
And the word inspire, the Latin root is inspirare, or that's the Latin word. And what that means is to breathe, right? And so there's two places in the Bible, right, where God breathes in Genesis, right? He breathes into Adam.
Yep.
And then the second place is at Pentecost, when the Lord comes down in John's gospel. They're in the up, right? They've locked the door. They're afraid. He shows up, and he breathes on them. And it's now like, hey, I've given you everything you got. I'm with you always. Now go forth and do great things. And, you know, Joe, the beautiful thing about that, there's so many beautiful things about that. But if you look time and time again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but how, you know, the Lord uses broken human beings, broken vessels. I love St. Peter, Joe. You know, St. Peter, he betrays the Lord. He fails in ways that we can't even imagine.
No doubt.
And the Lord forgives him, obviously, says, okay, you know what, I'm going to, as flawed as you are, you're my guy. And then Peter, he just, again, he begins again, and we know how he lived and how he died, right, at the end.
Amen.
So I think that's just a beautiful model, Joe, for us of like, okay, we've got the tools, now it's up to us to use.
Well said. And I love the notion of paraclete, right? When you take it back to its Latin meaning, it's to walk alongside, you know, like someone that's in the fight, right? It's not like someone that's watching from, giving you direction and watching from safe shores. It's someone who's like actually there in the mess with you, in the fight with you. And to your point, like you see, and the other thing that's amazing about that too, he, you know, there they are, they're all locked in together, right? Misery loves company. But what does he do? They leave that room and they spread out, you know, and then to have the strength, you know, when you're not unified as 12, right? With to have the strength to go to all these foreign countries and different lands and to spread the good news is certainly inspiring, as you said. Colonel Manning, as always, you're the best, brother. I love you, man. Thanks for your inspiration, your servant leadership, and just mentor, you know, showing all of us what Catholic masculinity looks like. Love you, buddy.
Folks, I love you, Joe. It was an honor.
Awesome. Have a great week, folks. Until next week, God bless.